Pastor Doug is like sneaky convicting. Like you're talking to him and it's just like a normal moment and you're just talking about whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like this sneaky prophetic conviction and he'll say something and you'll just be cut to the quick. I don't know what it is. It's like it's a gift of sneakiness in the Lord or something. It's so cool. So, well, the feeling is mutual. I love you both. Just thank you for hosting us and having us come over. I honestly had seen Pastor Doug and Lois at an event several months ago, and we were talking, and they're like, oh, you should come over. And I was like, yeah, we'll just come over. And I just thought, we're just going to come over and hang out. And so I was like, yeah, that'd be so cool. We'll bring the kids. We'll just hang out with you guys. And he's like, oh, you got to preach. I was like, no, I just want to hang out with you. You're our friends. We just want to hang out. No. You're going to preach. We got three services. You're going to preach all three of them. Just make it quick. And so it's just so cool. So here I am. Standing before you today, and I'll just be obedient to that. We're going to be looking in the book of Mark, chapter 4, specifically in verses 30 through 34. So you can jump over there with your Bible or your phone or however you do that. And it'll come up on the screen in a little bit, but I'm going to just share a little bit of a recap of Mark chapter 4. In this particular chapter, Mark emphasizes four different parables or stories that Jesus presented to the people, and he had them in like this sequence, and they're all very, very similar in the content of just the idea behind it. And so I'll give you a little recap of that. It's also followed by a demonstration of a really incredible miracle that Jesus performed in front of all of the disciples. And I don't think it was by accident that Mark had these parables all lined out. And then on the very same day, there was this incredible moment where Jesus performs this miracle. And I think it was all on purpose and all for us to just kind of encourage us. And we're going to take a look specifically at one of those parables. But the first one that he, I'll make mention of that Jesus emphasized was the parable of the sower. So it's not somebody sowing. It's like a farmer going out and sowing seed. And he sows some here, he sows some there. But when he sows the seed in good ground, it produces a crop 30, 60, even 100 times of just the amount of produce that was the original investment into the ground. And so really cool. And Jesus takes his disciples aside after that and explains that. And he says, you know, the seed that comes onto the good ground is someone who hears the word of God and then obediently turns their heart to the Lord in humility and receives that seed and that word, and it produces a big crop. I had an experience like this of sowing a seed one time in conversation, and it was my biggest moment of leadership up to that point that I've ever experienced. And I was in ninth grade, and I went to a school called North Pines, and North Pines was a really tough school. First day that I was there, there was this guy that was about 22 years old in ninth grade, and he had a leather jacket, and he pulled out a huge Bowie knife, threw it in his locker in the gym, and I was standing by him, and I saw it, and he's like, "You didn't see anything, did you?" I was like, "Nope, didn't see nothing. North Pines was a pretty tough school back then, but I remember in our history class, we were learning about Rosa Parks and a black woman in the 60s who just refused to give up her seat just because she was black in the bus, and it really helped to be a catalyst for this big movement. Well, My friends at that school, there was only about 5 black kids, but they were all my friends. I don't know why they were my friends. I don't understand it to this day, because I'm just like the geekiest white guy ever. But they liked me, and I liked them, and we got along really well. I didn't know how to do the high fives and stuff, and I just wasn't cool. You know, I've never been cool in my whole life. I've just never been like one of the cool guys, the trendy guys. And so anyway, we're on the bus, and we're all sitting in the back, and as we had got on the bus driver was just cranky. She was probably a decent lady, but she was just cranky that day, and we were just all a little bit put off by her. And so I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, we should boycott the bus. That's what we should do right now. And so I just looked at my friends, and there was Rob and Damien and James and Jimmy. And we had another guy, his name was Genesis. He was one of the friends, and they called him Spoon. I don't know why they called him Spoon. I still can't figure out that why they called him Spoon. But anyway, we were on the bus, and I just started sowing this seed. And I said, let's boycott the bus. And we were all in the history class together. And I was like, boycott the bus. Boycott the bus. Right? It was just the dumbest, you know, 14, 15-year-old thing possibly that you could do. But it began to spread. And it was very, very infectious. And so, these young seventh graders were on the bus, and when they saw all of us, and we were all big people. Damien was huge. Jimmy was this big, strong football player. Rob was just scary looking. And so we just started going, boycott the bus. And we're lifting up seventh graders, boycott the bus. And the whole bus is like bouncing up and down, boycott the bus. And we're like, come on, let's go, let's go. And we boycotted not just our bus, but we boycotted every bus at North Pines Junior High leaving North Pines. And it was the most epic moment of my life. It was 30, 60, 100 fold. It was just absolutely amazing. Every single kid walked home that day from North Pines Junior High. The streets were lined with kids, and we're like, boycott the bus. I mean, it was just crazy. It was so cool. And like 5 black kids, and like everybody else was just a bunch of goofy white kids that just went along with the flow. But the power of the seed, just this idea, right? It's so infectious. It's so profound. It hits something. It hits the core. After about a mile of walking, we realized, like, that wasn't the best idea. After about mile 3 or 4, you're like, well, it was a good day anyway. It was pretty fun. So Jesus switches to another parable, and he talks about the parable of the lamp, and he talks about how, we're not supposed to hide the light in the room, but we're actually supposed to promote it. And let it be established for everyone in the room to benefit. And so he's just very clear about, don't suppress this, actually elevate this and bring this out. The light he was talking about was the light of the kingdom of God. And I think about a lady at our church a few weeks ago, a friend of Jamie and mine. She's a designer and well-to-do family, and their daughter brought somebody to church for a period of time. They were about 12 years old. The young girl had never been to church before, but she just kept coming. And then she stopped coming for a couple months, but then all of a sudden, just a few weeks ago, she showed up at church again. And so Carrie, just during the worship time, she just felt like, oh, it's time. Like, it's right now. She's ready to receive the Lord. And so Carrie goes over to the young girl, and she's like, you're ready to receive Jesus in your life. And she wasn't going to hide it. And the girl was like, yeah, I'm ready. And so she prayed with her to receive Christ in her life. So I love that about Carrie, that she wasn't afraid of the light of God. She didn't suppress it. She didn't like wonder about it or question it. But she's like, oh no, now is the time for the light to shine. And this is going to happen right now. And how powerful for this young girl to be saved. And so I think of that when I was reading through one of these parables. And then the third parable that Jesus tells, this really cool story, is he just tells about the kingdom, how the kingdom is like a seed that grows, and it is sown into the ground, and it grows, and he says, and nobody knows how it grows. It just grows. It's like this mystery, and this parable emphasizes the mystery of the kingdom of God making the seed grow, of the power of God causing the seed to grow. I think about this guy that I just met at our church at Victory Faith, and he came to our church, and I went up to greet him and said hello. You know, it's always that awkward thing. You're new here. You know, how long you been coming? And he goes, oh, just a few months. I was like, well, why did you start coming to Victory Faith? And because I'm always just kind of curious to know. And he said, well, it's kind of a long story. I was like, well, hey, we got time. Tell me. And he begins to talk about how in September, he had just broke up with his lady, and he was really depressed about it. He goes, I was in just a super dark place, and I didn't know what to do, and I was up all night, and actually I ended up falling asleep in my car. But then early in the morning on Sunday, in the first week of September, I began to just drive around Spokane. And I drove all over the place. And he goes, I don't know why, but he goes, I just showed up at your church. I've never been here. I haven't been to church in 18 years. And he goes, I just showed up at the parking lot. And he goes, I'm a real shy person. And he goes, I don't normally come into a church any type of place where there's a lot of people. And he goes, but I came in and I sat down in the back, and the pastor started to preach about coming home. And he goes, I knew at that moment that God was calling me to come home to him. And everything like changed in his perspective and in his life. Since then, you know, we've connected with him. We've had him over for dinner. The Lord has moved really, really profoundly. And I don't understand how that worked, right? You just can't like put it all together. It's like such a mystery. But we do know that there was like the kingdom of God is like a seed. And we go to bed, we wake up in the morning, we go to bed, and we don't know, but the seed grows. And we don't know how it grows. We don't know what God is up to. It's just such a mystery. But you can't escape the evidential power of God. And I'm telling you, Robert can't escape that God was after him and the kingdom of God was growing in his heart. So let's take a look at this final parable. And this is the parable of the mustard seed, and we're just going to read through this briefly. And let's see here. I got my notes kind of mixed up here. Here we go. In Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34, Jesus said, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds on the earth, yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. That's what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a mustard seed. Have you ever seen the size of a mustard seed? Maybe you cooked with something like that, or actually even planted something like that, or harvested when the plant goes to seed or anything like that. It's just really, really amazing. It's so small, and I was wondering about the amount of energy that it takes for a seed to grow. And I was like, how does this even happen? Because it is such a mystery. How does the seed actually grow? Nobody really knows. I mean, you know, scientists, they can kind of give you the framework of it, but there's so much energy packed into this little tiny seed. You know, there's a seed that was found in Herod the Great's temple in 1970, and it was a palm date tree. And in 2005, this lady was hired specifically to try to germinate this palm date tree seed that was 2,000 years old from Herod the Great's temple. And she cultivated, and it grew. It grew. It was just crazy. A 2,000-year-old seed. Now, that is such a mystery to me. How does that work? Well, you say, well, there's water, and then there's fertilizer, and then there's oxygen. You know, yeah, but how does it work? This thing has been dead for 2,000 years. This is an absolute, like, mystery to me. How does this work? You know, today, in 2022, that palm date tree produced dates, because it takes like well over 20 some years for it to mature to the point where it can produce dates. So, I mean, this thing has been planted in Israel. It's alive. It's huge. It's like up to the rafters here. And it was from Herod's temple. How mind-boggling is that? But if you think about a mustard seed, it's so small, it's so little, but there's so much energy packed into that. And I looked this up, and it's got to be right because it was on the interwebs. And so the energy equivalent of the mass of a single mustard seed is approximately 1 ton of TNT. That's the energy equivalent at the germination point. So the destructive capability of 1 ton of TNT, it's enough to destroy a medium-sized building if detonated right next to the wall or inside of it. It will kill you by shockwave from 60 feet away. That's 1 ton of TNT. You could be 60 feet away, you are dead. And at if you're like 90 feet, you'll be severely injured. So the size of the hole in the ground is influenced by many factors, but it literally can be as much as 30 feet wide and 5 feet deep. That's what 1 ton of TNT. But the energy equivalent of the amount of energy at germination inside this seed is like that. It's comparable to that. That's stunning. And Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, right? And when it's planted and when it sprouts, there's just so much momentum that it overtakes everything. And in fact, it grows to such a height and such a point that the birds of the air can land and like perch on its branches. And I love that. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they could understand. And he did not say anything to them without using a parable. Because a parable is just such a powerful way to explain something. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. He explained everything. So he finally tells this parable about the mustard seed and about the great potential of the mustard seed, and he likens it to the kingdom of God. And then he goes privately with the disciples, and he explains everything. So I'm just going to read to you. It might not be up on the screen, but I'm just going to read to you what happened next. That day. So that day, after he told this series of parables and he ended on the parable of the mustard seed, comparing the kingdom of God to the seed and to the potential that it has to become a tree, On that day, when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And when they went out there, this huge storm came up and it freaked everybody out. But Jesus has fallen asleep in the front of the boat on a cushion. He's like sleeping in the midst of this storm. And the disciples waken him and they say, "Jesus, we're going to die if you don't do something." So he gets up and he speaks to the storm and he commands it to be still. And it's one of the most profound moments of a display of the miraculous power of God that we have in the scriptures. Because every Jewish mind understood that there's nothing more powerful on the planet. There's no element more powerful on the planet than water. And so they were afraid of water. And so anybody who had power over the water, they had the power of God residing in them. And I don't think it was an accident that Jesus performed this miracle where this mighty storm just was quieted and there was just complete calmness. This was witnessed by other boats that were experiencing the same thing and certainly by the disciples themselves. I don't think it was by accident that this happened on that very same day when Jesus was talking about the power of the kingdom of God. And the potential power of God's kingdom is so much that when it is planted in our life, when his word comes to us and is planted in our life, there's so much power that he wants to release through us, even though we think it might be insignificant at first. The potential is so radical. I think about my grandpa, who in World War II, he got saved on an aircraft carrier because his friend felt compelled to lead him to the Lord. Prior to that, my grandpa, he grew up in the Depression. He ended up living to be 99 years old and died a few years ago. And he kept his wits about him. He had strength all the way till 2 weeks before he died. It was just an unbelievable man. But he grew up in the Depression. His dad was a drunkard. They never went to church. He did not know the Lord. His brother was a drunkard, and they took off to Seattle to go find work. But they just went off to go on a drunk binge. But my grandpa stayed home with his mom, and he completed his high school, and he worked around and just tried to help provide. And he ended up going into the service, and he met his friend who led him to Christ. This seed was planted inside of his life. Just this little seed. And from there, his friend said, "You know, the best place to find a young woman is at church." And so when they came into port, they went to a church. And he met my grandma, whose name was Zella. I mean, that's how it is back in the day. You got the coolest names. There was Bob and Zella. And it was just, they got married, and they were married all the way through 70-some years of marriage. It was just unbelievable. They had all kinds of kids, 5 kids, all kinds of grandkids. And for a while there, we had 4 generations of the Coxes, and we were all alive, all walking with the Lord when my grandpa was alive. But let me tell you, it happened because of a seed that was planted and somebody was bold enough to say, "Hey, have you heard about Jesus? Hey, have you heard about the kingdom of God?" Hey, and on a ship, I mean, the peer pressure would be extreme, right? You know that you're going into this battle, into this war, and you got all kinds of things that are going through your mind. But at that moment, a seed was planted in my grandpa's heart that forever changed the trajectory of his lineage. My grandpa led so many people to the Lord after he was even 75 years old. Because you cannot deal with a man of God that is old and just does not care any longer. There's nobody can deal with that guy. Nobody could. Young men would just be at the tire store and they would, and he would lead them to the Lord because they couldn't. He would go to the gym 3 times a week and he would lead people to the Lord because they just couldn't believe Bob Cox. They just was like, who is this man? But it started with a seed. The potential of the kingdom, the power of the potential of the kingdom in your life and in my life is unbelievable. You may take a look at your life right now and you may not think very much of your life. And perhaps it's not a great idea to think very much of our own individual lives. Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think with sober judgment, right? But listen, when your life is touched by the kingdom of God, there is so much potential. If you let that seed grow, you might not see so much right in your moment in that time, but in the wake of your life, there will be a dramatic, dramatic fruitful harvest. There will be, there. Who is in the wake of your life? When a boat goes through the water, it leaves a wake behind it. You might be a rowboat, you still leave a wake. You might be a yacht, you might be a speedboat, you still leave a wake. And eventually, that wake will touch, those waves will touch both sides of the shore on a lake. Your life, infused and touched by the power of the living God, where you say, Lord, I want the seed of your kingdom, your word, to touch me. Let this be good ground to move inside of me. Help me to walk with you in such a way that my life would be fruitful, 30, 60, 100 fold. Help me to be the kind of man or woman that does not hide the kingdom and put it under a basket. Help me to be the kind of man or woman that just trusts in the mystery of the gospel and is willing to share it wherever, because God, you're the one who ultimately brings the increase. Help me to understand that it's not about me, but it's about the potential and the power of the kingdom of God working inside of me. And Lord, help me to believe it. Help me to know it, because there's people in the wake of your life, in your lineage, that will be forever affected because of the seed. Would you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray a prayer over you, and we're just going to engage in this together. I really believe that the Lord just wants to encourage you where you're at, that some of you have some scars in your life and some stuff that you've experienced that has just brought your hope level way down, disappointments, frustrations, or maybe you just are insecure and when you look at yourself. And we do get insecure when we just look at ourselves. But I want you to see something different, that the kingdom of God is power. And it's not our power. It's not like we can muster it up and jump up and down and rah, 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 you know, and oh, we're going to do it, you know, in our own strength or some sort of striving thing. But the kingdom of God is power. And the kingdom of God, when it collides with a man or woman, a young man or a young woman, just simply who has faith to say, Lord, I open my heart to the potential and the power of your word, that those coming behind me would benefit because I said yes to you. Would you put your hand on your heart right now? And maybe you just pray a prayer along with me. Just say, Jesus, I want your kingdom in my life. My heart is open. I'm hearing your word. Lord, I leave the old ways behind. my failures, my scars, my disappointments. And I believe you have some fruitfulness ahead for me. And I want the people in the wake of my life to benefit from this moment where I let your seed be planted inside of me. The seed of the kingdom of God. The word of God. The power of God. The life of God. I pray that my children's children would benefit. Lord, I don't want to hide it. I don't want to push it away. I don't want to just discard it or lose it. Lord, I want to be intentional about having the seed planted in my life. In Jesus' name. Close your eyes for just a moment and just imagine you live your life and you go to be with Jesus. And then imagine people coming into the kingdom because you said yes to him. Because at work, you took a risk and talked to somebody about Jesus. Because at home, you took a risk, talked to a son or daughter about Jesus. Because you took time to pray and pray and pray. There's grandmas in here who will pray and pray and make food and cookies, and sons and daughters will be ministered to, and the seed of the kingdom of God will be planted in their life. There's young people today who will take a risk at school and lead somebody to Jesus, and it will forever change the course and trajectory of their life. And those coming behind them will benefit. So Lord, we say yes to that. We say yes to your kingdom. We say yes to the seed. And let your power be manifest through us in Jesus' name. Amen.